So this episode's going to cover the boom and why it occurred. So the boom occurred because the economy was rapidly developing for multiple reasons. The first reason was a cheap labour force. Continuous immigration from Europe in the years before World War I meant that there were a lot of people who were willing to work for low wages. The second reason was the impact of World War I. America didn't enter World War I until 1917, which meant that European countries were damaged and needed to buy food, raw materials, and munitions from America. The money that European countries borrowed from America meant that they could profit off it in the 1920s and made a lot of money. The third reason was laissez-faire economics. This limited government involvement meant that businesses were left to themselves, therefore there were higher profits, more jobs and higher wages, and it led to low taxes, which meant there and fewer regulations for businesses. The fourth reason was isolationism. This meant that people were encouraged to buy American goods, feeding into the American economy. America returned to isolationism after 1919. The fifth reason was technological change. The USA led the world in tech at this time because of World War I. This meant that they had electricity for factories, which stimulated mass production of vacuums, radios, etc., which led to a boost in the economy. The sixth reason is policies of Republican governments. The reduced role of government meant that businesses were left to themselves. With reduced taxes for the rich, and the presidents in the 1920s were all Republican, meaning everything was kind of left to the people and the government didn't control money. Natural resources such as oil, coal, wood and iron also meant that the US had a lot of raw materials to trade, meaning they had a lot of money coming into the economy. Another reason for the boost in the economy was mass production. The car industry introduced the assembly line, meaning only one man was needed for each part of the car, and therefore trained employees were not necessary. Henry Ford made cars a lot cheaper, so that they became a regular item for every family. This also increased things like farming because coal mine harvesters and tractors were mass produced, therefore more food could be produced. Advertising was another reason for the boom. More items were available and advertising increased brand loyalty, for example Coca-Cola. Advertising was also common in magazines and newspapers, which would not have happened before this. Consumerism would have been another reason for the boom. Profits increased with wages, therefore people had more money to buy consumer luxuries than they did before. Also, the ability to buy on credit meant that people did not have to have the money up front, meaning people bought a lot more things. The boom cycle generally goes, as income increases, more items are purchased, then there are higher profits, more people are hired, and income increases again. This leads to a cycle of the boom. The stock market was another huge reason for the boom. The value of stocks and shares rose dramatically in 1928 to 1929. This meant that many more people were buying shares. Everyday workers became involved in shares, who didn't have much money. Up to 25 million Americans became involved, and there was a famous quote saying even the shoe sign boy was dealing in shares. People trusted the system and did not see any risks with this, which was obviously very wrong as it led to the Wall Street crash. Buying on the margin was how people with not a lot of money managed to deal in shares. People would make a deposit of about 10%, borrow the money from a bank to pay the rest back, and they would expect the value of the shares to rise, so that when the share value rose, they could sell them, make a profit, in order to pay back the loan of the bank, and then they would have more money to invest. This was an ongoing cycle which eventually led to the Wall Street crash. Speculation of the stock market was not always positive. Wall Street began to overheat due to people buying on the margin and borrowing up to 90% of funds. As soon as the market began to slow and plateau, people who borrowed money wouldn't be able to pay back the loan, therefore the economy crashed. People floated shares and people still bought them, even when they were fake, to make profit. Corruption and dishonesty led to the economy crashing as well. The three main bad things about speculation were people borrowing money and being dishonest. As well as this, people buying on credit also impacted the same way as buying on the margin did. Despite the idea of the boom being that the economy in America was amazing, there are in fact many weaknesses in the American economy. We can use the acronym FLOP cuts to remember these. The F stands for farming. Machinery led to overproduction and therefore rapidly falling prices. Farmers in rural areas with no electricity fell behind and were excluded from the boom. The L stands for low demand. Overproduction meant that only so many things were needed in a household, therefore this wasn't a sustainable business. The O stands for old industries. Overproduction of coal being replaced by oil and gas led to falling wages and unemployment. The textiles industry was failing due to flapper clothes costing much less to make. A P stands for poor Americans. Black workers remained often unemployed, and 60% of Americans were below the poverty line. C stands for cartels. Cartels fixed the market to keep prices high and wages low. This dishonesty was one of the things that led to the Wall Street crash. The U stands for unemployment. New technology replaced people, meaning many more people were unemployed. The T stands for trade problems. Many countries retaliated against US isolationism and introduced their own tariffs, so trade from the US suffered. The F, and it, yeah, that's it, man. Yeah. On a more positive note, there are many effects of the booming economy which were positive. Number one is the consumer boom. This led to growth in personal possessions. Number two was innovation. Motor industry mass production pushed down prices, and therefore goods became more accessible to the everyday person. Number three was synthetics. The first plastic was made. Cellophane and nylon were also made. This was a huge step. Number four was upsurging car ownership. 8 to 23 million people started to own cars, which was a huge push forward. Number five was consumer items. Dishwashers, radios and vacuums didn't used to be very common, whereas they became a common household item. Number six was communications revolution. The amount of telephones doubled and radios increased by millions. This had a huge impact on politics in the future as well, with Roosevelt's fireside chats. Number seven was entertainment industries. Cinemas and jazz clubs and Hollywood became a huge staple in American life. Number eight was the stock market. Wall Street boomed and new businesses were floated on the stock market. This made a lot of money. Number nine was skyscrapers. Highways and urban development overall changed the look of America. The 1920s in America were often described as the Roaring Twenties for many reasons. Number one is men returning from war. People wanted to enjoy life more after seeing horrible things in war. This increased consumerism and things like building of skyscrapers to generally improve quality of life. The second one is jazz. African Americans left the South to find work in the North, so their music went North with them. Prohibition brought jazz to gangster-run nightclubs, only venues that served alcohol and hired African Americans were these nightclubs. People calls that jazz the devil's music, which obviously wasn't a positive thing, but overall the black arts movement was a huge step towards the Harlem Renaissance. Cinema was also increased in the 1920s. It was a cheap form of entertainment, and advertising built up reputations of movie stars, which obviously was a big deal. Charlie Chaplin was living the American dream, and he is still seen as an icon of the 1920s. Elderly people generally didn't enjoy the 1920s. They thought jazz was too sexual, women were portrayed badly in films, and crime showed in films encouraged it. The Hays Code meant that nothing was allowed on screen that would lower the moral standard of viewers. The role of women also changed dramatically. In 1920, they got the right to vote, which meant they could start fighting for equality more. This change was mostly due to the work they did during the war. They had more financial freedom, which led to more independence and therefore more divorce. Modern women were seen normally to be flappers, and old people kind of hated them. Sports and leisure took a huge step forward in the 1920s. This was mostly because men wanted to escape from memories of the war, and they had more free time. Therefore, leisure such as sports took a huge turn. These events were now able to be broadcasted on radio, which means they became a lot more popular. Celebrities became also known for sports. Babe Ruth was famous for baseball. Baseball became America's national sport in the early 1900s. It reinforced American values and gave everyone a common identity. It also allowed all men of all ethnic backgrounds to get involved. Crazes were also huge in the 1920s because people wanted to escape the war. Celebrities and icons became common, and crosswords and marathons were actually the common fads, which now seem a bit weird. There were also some famous pilots, such as Amelia Earhart, who was the first woman to fly across the Atlantic in 1928, which took her about 20 hours. Charles Lindbergh was also a pilot. He went from New York to Paris in 33.5 hours in 1927. Don't expect you to remember any of this, but I suppose it's the interesting part. The 1920s could also be described as not so roaring for a lot of people. Traditional industries such as coal and textiles suffered. Farmers suffered due to dropped prices. Immigrants became hated generally, and it became very difficult for them to enter the US. The Sacco and Vanzetti trial shows how unfairly treated immigrants were. They were often blamed for crimes they didn't commit. Women were only really given more rights if they were middle class and above. Most women were unemployed or poorly paid, and generally didn't get a lot of from the 1920s. Suspected communists were basically killed. After the Russian Revolution in 1917, people went nuts about communism. This is called the Red Scare. Native Americans also didn't have an improved life in the 1920s. They were forced to leave their traditional way of life, and children were sent to boarding schools to Americanize them, and they weren't allowed to learn about their culture or their native language. Life was bad until the New Deal, basically. Black Americans, not much changed, except the KKK went properly against the original melting pot idea. They were generally poorer, and racism was very common. Communism was a huge fear during the 1920s. People started to go completely against the original melting pot idea. Fear of communists increased a lot after the Russian Revolution of 1917, and therefore intolerance against immigrants increased a lot as well. There were a series of bombings by anarchist groups, and people generally assumed that it was communism spreading, which was false. The Sacco and Vanzetti trial showed that clearly people didn't respect immigrants. They were accused of stealing two men, of stealing money and killing two men. Even though 107 people said they were elsewhere, they were still found guilty and executed in 1927, showing that life didn't improve for everybody. Prohibition was started in the 1920s. Why? Well, alcohol generally resulted in crime, and money being spent on alcohol led to more divorce and people losing a father figure. People weren't working properly due to being drunk, and this was very dangerous for jobs such as making war munitions. Alcohol damaged health and lives, which generally meant that it was smart to ban it. How it was banned. In 1917, alcohol was banned in some states, and making alcohol from grain was banned. In December 1917, the 18th Amendment banned all alcohol, but it actually came into effect in 1920. The effects of this is that, well, not much. People didn't stop drinking. Police officers and judges didn't agree with it, so generally didn't prosecute people. Criminal activities flourished as general normal people started to disrespect the law more and more. Profit for gangsters, and basically everyone started bribing the police, no one really cared, and all of the gangsters made loads of money from underground alcohol smuggling from places like Mexico. Speakeasies were what private clubs that served alcohol were called. So the successes can be remembered with the acronym AIL. A stands for Alcohol Destroyed. In 1929, 50 million litres of alcohol were discovered and destroyed. The L stands for Legacy. The general consumption of alcohol fell for many years after, showing that prohibition at least did have some effect on people. The E stands for Einstein and Smith, also known as Izzy and Mo, who became famous as examples for all police in helping stop alcohol consumption. The failures can be remembered with the acronym DAMAGE. This D stands for Drinking Continued. People didn't abide by the law. A stands for Available. It just went underground. People could still access it easily. The M stands for Made Criminals of Ordinary People. These people who were drinking alcohol saw other crimes as not as much of a big deal, therefore increased crime. A stands for Adverse Effects. Moonshine was poor quality and sometimes killed people. G stands for Gangsters. It was profitable for them, and corruption grew in the police force, and generally violence increased. E stands for End. The fact that prohibition ended proved that it ultimately failed. Lastly, organised crime, basically gangs, were a huge deal in the 1920s. In the 1920s and 30s, they mostly controlled alcohol. Chicago Outfit, run by Al Capone, was one of the most famous gangs, making around $100 million a year. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre led to the execution of 7 gang members, possibly by Al Capone's gang. In 1929, approximately 400 gang-related murders were recorded, showing that overall gang crime increased in the 1920s.